Welcome back. Welcome back, fanboys, fangirls, and everybody in between.
Yeah, in between.
Wow. Yeah. So that early.
We're off to a good start.
Three seconds in, guys.
Okay. Well, my name is Dennis.
This is still Lewis.
This is Harold.
And Harold, aside from cracking voices, Harold is actually not feeling too well today.
No.
So you are going to be hearing some snorting. You are going to be hearing some coughing. And then Harold is going to show how sick he is also. You like that one?
I like that.
Notice how it's not
I'm high-fiving Dennis, but you can't hear it because I'm sick.
Okay, got it. And I don't want him to touch me.
Also contagious.
For everybody else, welcome back. I'm really hoping that you guys have been enjoying our podcast. This is our 8th episode, even though we're not supposed to be counting.
Yeah.
But
really,
you know, yeah, I know. We're
when you're having fun,
nearing that big 1-0.
Yeah.
What is 1-0?
I'm not sure.
I don't know.
It's code for something.
Is it binary?
It is binary, actually, because there's two numbers.
Yeah, but doesn't it start with 0? No, I don't know. I failed math 101, so...
10 people get that joke.
Oh, yeah. Okay, I like it. But yeah, I hope you've been enjoying our podcast. We've been hearing a lot of comments from everybody, which is really good.
Great.
I know the last couple of episodes, we've been having some technical difficulties. Our volumes, our levels, whatever it is, the cool people to say these
right.
days, it has been kind of messed up. So we are trying. So for those people who are sticking with us on the long run, hopefully, thank you first off, and for not quitting on us. And down the line, we're hoping to be able to give you the quality that, you know, most people are
you deserve. You deserve.
That most people expect from people who can afford technology.
Right. Exactly.
You need to hear our voices in high def.
Exactly. And one of these days, you know, I know this is a podcast and it's all audio. You should see our cool studio set
right.
up here.
Because
it's one of those things where... You know, so you think with our voices and our abilities, it would be something amazing.
Right.
We're just no. in somebody's.
We're in a 5x5 room closet, surrounded by collectibles.
With a really cheap computer and one mic.
All we need is one mic.
Sometimes all you need is one mic. Thank you, Naz.
Okay, so enough with the chit chat. Let's get down to business today.
Yeah.
So we've been really trying to make each episode kind of different,
right?
You know, down the line, I'm pretty sure we're gonna start repeating things because that's we start running out of ideas. But I thought that today's topics is promising.
Yeah.
Okay. So we've been talking a lot about movies. We've been talking about TV shows, comic books and everything. And today we're going to combine everything. Today's topic is guilty pleasures.
Nice. Okay.
Any guilty pleasure that you have that you might not want to admit to it.
Right. You're not going to put it on a t-shirt per se or walk around and flaunt it. So I get you. All right, this is gonna be interesting. This is gonna be interesting.
Although now that you said, I really want a shirt that says "Walk around and flaunt it."
That's subject for another.
Patent pending, dude. When we start getting big, that's gonna
right.
be the that, first two fanboys in the filthy casual
the t-shirt. Yes. So I'm gonna open an Etsy shop for it.
There you go.
Watch out for it, guys.
So today, like I said, we're going to be talking about guilty pleasures. We're not really going to go that in-depth. I think we're not going to go over the plot points and everything. But what we're looking for, what I'm looking for, is what is it, what's the shame? Because I think that's going to be the
yes.
the beauty of it.
Shame!
Exactly. You know, what's the shame and what is it about, even though you know for a fact that it's a shameful thing? What is it? Why are you still watching? Why are you still listening to it? You know, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So, since Harold is the one that's sick and might die on us, I thought we might as well start it so that, you know, I can cut him out when he collapses. So, Harold...
And listeners wouldn't know a thing.
Exactly.
All you hear is... By the way, totally use that. Just so I can actually cough and get that through.
Don't worry, I'm just going to talk like this.
Yeah.
I'm Harold.
Yeah, I've become Michael Clark Duncan all of a sudden.
Okay. Well, you are yoked like Mark. Okay. So, Harold, go first. Your first guilty pleasure.
We're going guilty pleasure movie first.
Okay, movie.
Okay.
Got it.
You guys know us. You know, I like a lot of movies. I watch a lot of different movies, and you would expect from me, it's either going to be an action movie, a comedy, or that's pretty much my genres of where we're going to, like comic book movies. So my guilty pleasure movie is neither, none of those things. It is The Devil Wears Prada.
Wow.
At the peak.
Oh, Anne Hathaway.
It's because of Anne Hathaway and Emily Blunt. The relationship that those two women have on screen as the two assistants to Miranda Presley, who is, played by,
you know,
I've seen this at least 10, 12 times.
And
I told people I never wanted to buy it on DVD because it was always playing on cable. And then I bought it on DVD and I still watch it to this day. Anytime it comes on TV, I have to watch it. There's just one transition scene where Stanley Tucci basically turns Anne Hathaway into the new Cinderella.
Okay.
So that by the time Meryl Streep sees her for the first Caesar, finally transformed into a fashionista, and she's presently surprised. And I just, scenes like that, I always like the whole Pygmalion kind of thing. Parts in movies or just things in general where they show the transition from, like, you know, a pauper to a prince, or in this case, like a pauperess to a princess. And it's just great to see a progression from character. In this way, it's kind of visual and a little bit attitude-wise, but just more movies like that where you see them becoming a completely different person, whether it be for the better or for the worse, and then having to figure out if, like, the new person is exactly who they need to be or who they want to be. And really enjoying movies like that. It is not in my wheelhouse because I don't really like dramatic movies, and I don't like non-musical movies starring
Anne Hathaway
or Meryl Streep. Because, you know, Mamma Mia.
Mamma Mia.
Or Les Miserables. I'll watch those movies. But and Adrien Grenier is in it. It was at the peak of his entourage-dom. And he's literally, you could cut him out of the movie and no one would even care. But, you know,
he got that sweet entourage, audience, I guess,
yeah,
to watch the movie.
Me. There was like one other douchebag besides me that was like, hey, The Devil Wears Prada, because...
Let's not talk about your brother-in-law like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, yeah. Leave that guy out of this. He is an entourage fan.
So, interesting enough, and I know I'm not using this as the guilty pleasure, but when you mentioned that, I really wanted to do The Intern with Anne Hathaway. So I think one of the ideas, and we need to write this down, I think we're going to have to do a podcast about Anne Hathaway.
But, and we could be the two fanboys, because I don't know if Lewis has watched
it. Yeah, Lewis is like... Batgirl? I mean,
Catwoman? She was good, I guess.
Skin tight?
She rode the bat cycle?
Yeah.
Hey, works for me. So, for me, when we're talking about guilty pleasure movies, I don't know. To be honest with you, Lewis, I don't sense the shame here. I honestly don't sense the shame coming from Harold. So I think I'm really going to start off with shame.
Please.
Because he's talked about drama. He's talked about character progression. He's talked about all these things. And today I'm talking about Wild Things.
Yes!
It's very dramatic.
Very dramatic and down there, I guess.
Yeah.
Wow, dude.
Oh, Jesus. Where? Oh, God.
Leave them both out.
He's watching. No, you know, it seems like if we're talking about total opposites, you know, you have something like The Devil Wears Prada and you have Wild Things where it literally just is, you know, gratuitous.
Yeah.
Near
pornographic.
Like, sure. Pornographic. You know, the peak... Denise Campbell. Wow. Denise Richards. Which, by the way, I was thinking of...
Nev Campbell?
Bruce.
Bruce Campbell?
I was thinking of Bruce. I was listening to his podcast.
Bruce Campbell?
I was listening to his podcast today, that's why. And so...
Versus the Wild Thing.
We're not gonna mention the podcast because I know we're not really competing against them, but still.
Or are we?
Who knows? But yeah, Nev Campbell and Denise Richards doing what they do.
I like this pick because there is legitimate shame in this. Because, okay.
I would not, if I was...
You would never admit to watching this movie.
Exactly. And if I was, you know, if I'm watching, you know, if I'm watching late at night at the house and I have that on, which... By the way, I've never had that on by myself, which is kind of creepy. But it, one of those things, if my wife starts walking down, I'm going to grab the remote. Oh, God. Please.
Can we go back real quick where you said you've never watched the movie by yourself?
I know.
You always watch it with someone else in the room?
Yes.
Okay, just making sure that came across.
Which kind of makes more shame. Because especially the first time I watched it with a old college buddy and a couple of other buddies watching it. And it was really awkward because I was like, looking around, and everybody was kind of breathing a little harder. got a little quieter, but I mean, admittedly, I have to tell you, you know, I have YouTubed a couple of the videos just to refresh my memory.
See, what I think makes this a secret shame is because I remember I was actually working at the AMC when this movie came out. So here's how I know this is an actual well-accepted shame, is because I still remember succinctly, people would buy lots of tickets to, like, I don't know what movie would came, like Bug's Life or one of those Pixar movies, and yet when you go to the Wild Things Theater, it was packed, but only like one ticket sold. So who's going to this theater? So people are buying tickets to one movie and then... like secretly going over to see Wild Things. So yeah, nobody wanted to admit, I'm gonna go see this.
Either that or they were so disappointed with Bug's Life.
It could have been both. You know. But Lewis and I were trying to discuss earlier, we didn't know that Wild Things was longer than two scenes.
Right. Well, you have the you have her getting out of the pool.
You're right.
And then you have fighting in the pool. Yeah, no, you have her washing the car.
Okay. And, so there's more than
And then again, the shame is coming out here. But shameless at this point. Shame. And then right afterwards, for some reason she decides to wet herself. Not like that. Like,
or
pour
it?
Water over her.
Okay.
You know. There's like four or five parts. and so take that, Devil Wears Prada. That's no shame.
Shame.
Okay.
All right. For my shame is a little bit more PG, but it feels no less guilty nonetheless. So we've already mentioned how I'm personally a huge, huge comic book fan. So I love superhero movies. I feel like I've seen everything. From like Dolph Lundgren, Punisher, to the Nick Cage Ghost Riders. So my secret, you know, guilty pleasure is Superman IV, The Quest for Peace. It's, I'm on my phone right now. It says it's 12% on Rotten Tomatoes, and I'm not even surprised, because the production was horrible, and the acting wasn't that great. But it has a spot for me because... you have to imagine, back when this movie was made, there weren't a lot of superhero movies at all. So this was actually one of the first movies that had a villain that could go toe-to-toe with a hero. Nowadays, we're kind of spoiled. You know, 20, 30 years after the first Christopher Reeve Superman movie came out, we're spoiled. There's like a superhero movie that comes out every other month, at least. And you're going to see some knockdown, drag-out, awesome fights and stuff. But imagine back in 86, 87, when Quest for Peace came out, I saw this picture of the bad guy Nuclear Man, and I just went, I was dumbfounded.
Nuclear,
as Homer would say. Nuclear. I was dumbfounded by this image of this guy going toe-to-toe with Superman, and I felt, finally, I'm going to get the comic book on the big screen. So I loved it. I still love it to this day. I have the DVD upstairs. I pop it in every so often, also the DVD.
We're talking about wild things. I'm talking about,
and now I'm thinking about Neve Campbell and Nuclear Man. Man, what an image! So that's my guilty pleasure. Not as profound as Devil Horse Prada, nor not as as Wild Things. Okay. But
I mean, again, I think I'm the only one that actually really taking the shame.
If I was Lewis, or I'm not Lewis, obviously, but. I am ashamed that I've seen Superman Quest for Peace more than twice. And I feel guilty for Lewis that he actually enjoys this thing. Like, I watch that movie in the background while I'm trying to do something else.
Okay. So, now that we have movie covered, let's continue on with guilty pleasure for TV. Okay. You know, there's a lot of shows,
right.
You know, and... You know, I'm one of those people that complain there's not enough time, yeah. There's way too many quality things, and, you know, I try to make sure that all, you know, the time that I have, I want to put really quality, you know, TV shows. But these days, my guilty pleasure is there's this show called Forged in Fire. And Forged in Fire is these you know, burly, bearded, you know, blacksmiths. And the whole time, they're just, like, you know, pounding metal. And and that's not even... I wish that was a euphemism, but no, it's not.
Really, what's going on in this one?
You know, it's like the closest thing, if you've never watched it, it's like Iron Chef... Except it's a bunch of sweaty men using hammers and fire creating weapons. And at the very end, the only thing they do is test it by, like, slashing pigs, slashing, you know, apples.
Stabbing
things. And, you know, there's this guy, Doug Mercada. And he's this, you know, weapons expert. And, you know, every single time he tests it, he turns around and he kind of gives this smile and almost a wink to everybody. He goes... It will kill. And for some reason, I'm like, yes, it would kill. It would kill. Lewis?
Okay. That's, so,
and I tell you, I'm going shameless right now.
That's an awesome. So when Dennis actually mentioned this, I did have to go and watch what this was about. And yeah, I can see how it's the last half of the show is literally just stabbing stuff. Which is good stuff. So Dennis actually mentioned what my guilty pleasure was, or is, actually. So my guilty pleasure is Iron Chef Japan. Some people probably wonder how something like the Food Network is still in business after so many years. It's people like me who will marathon the poo out of Iron Chef Japan at like 11 p.m. at night when there's nothing else on. Or where I probably should be sleeping, but I just need to know how... Iron Chef Japanese is going to beat this expert in Japanese rice. So that's my secret champ. I love cooking shows. I love competition. And Iron Chef Japan just had both in such a great production. And the cheesy dubs are probably my favorite. I bet you those people aren't even saying what the English speakers are saying. But I'm sold and I love it. And it's so hokey. But I love it.
Real quick, which of the three, at least, you know, the one everybody knows, is it Hiroyuki Sakai?
Sakai or Morimoto? Or
Chen?
You know what? I think Morimoto is way overrated. I feel Chen.
Whoa, okay.
I know, hot take alert. I think Chen totally got... What was the word I'm looking for? But he didn't get enough credit. I think Chen really carried the load a lot of the time. Morimoto back then was the young and hot and sexy chef that everybody loved. And obviously that he translated into successful businesses here in the States. But a part of me feels that, or part of me, I would like to think that Iron Chef Chen has his own temple now up in the Himalayas where he is, you know, the Iron Chef forever.
Got it.
XOXO, Iron Chef.
Which, interestingly enough, is a Chinese ingredient. Yeah.
Yes.
Okay, good job. Harold?
Going off script, you know, the more I think about it, the answer I have here is pretty... No one should be really guilty for watching that show. But the show that I'm really... is my guilty pleasure is this show called Ink Master on the Spike Network. Really? I know people don't know that the Spike Network still exists.
I was just saying.
No, wait a minute. I thought they died.
No, next year they're turning into the Paramount Network.
Oh, okay.
But for now...
I thought it was the Esquire Network.
Yeah.
No, that's a different channel.
I thought that's what happened.
No. Because Esquire is the classier version of Spike TV.
So, wait, what was G4 turned into?
Esquire.
Okay.
And sci-fi turned into Siffy.
Okay. So, thank you. History lesson for you guys.
I don't know why I know this. But Ink Master, if you guys don't know, and I know these two, they're looking at me, they have no idea that this show exists.
I'm just looking at it right now. You know,
I have to say this. The moment he said Siffy, I was about to say he's an expert at Siffy.
Jesus, man. I'm trying to find a woman from this show. I mean,
it's just lists.
Not really.
Siffies.
Yeah, it's a list of Siffies, dude. I have no idea what you're trying to say here. Okay. Sorry, go ahead. Ink Master. Okay.
So Ink Master is a television show, a reality TV competition, which we seem to really like here, but gets different tattoo artists from all different parts of either the world or mostly the country. And they do a weekly competition. So it's they do actual tattoos on willing people.
Really?
They call them...
Willing?
Yeah. You have to sign up for the... Like, there's a scroll at the bottom of each show. It's like, would you like to be a human canvas? An open human canvas? And as much as I want to apply and be like, yes. Yeah, I'm down. I don't want to end up with, like, you know, some really terrible tattoo like I already have.
Somebody so, stick art on your back.
Exactly. I mean, they do a lot of great, great art. But at the same time, if you're, like, one of the human canvases in the beginning, or you're a human canvas... during a weekly challenge that you don't particularly like, then you're stuck with it. And that's kind of how it goes. When I first started watching the show, I was so, like, entranced with everything, like, just how they build tattoos, how they, you know, come up with ideas, and then the competition thing. And Dave Navarro is such a douchey judge that you just can't help but watch him all the time. I literally was like, okay, I'm getting a tattoo. Because I've seen so many episodes of Ink Master that I need to get a tattoo. I was like, it feels wrong to watch this TV show and not get a tattoo. So that's kind of my guilty pleasure.
Okay, I Googled it and I can confirm that this is a show.
Yes.
I doubt it. It's like, no.
Like,
people don't get tattooed.
Like, on my, on my DVR, the only competition shows I have are Cutthroat Kitchen and Ink Master. And I was trying to decide which is more of a guilty pleasure. And I was like, but a lot of people love Cutthroat Kitchen. Cause,
hey, yeah. People love cooking shows, man.
Yeah, exactly. But do people like shows about random people getting tattoos?
Exactly.
Not so much.
Now, just in case our podcast ever explodes and we have a broader audience, if there's anybody out there listening to this that is in charge of producing TV shows, I'm proposing one right now. It's going to be Ink Master. But you don't have a choice. You just like get taken and somebody tattoos something.
They put a blindfold over your head.
Surprise!
No, actually there was. Did you see that? They had a YouTube clip a couple of days ago where a friend was allowed to pick a tattoo for their friend. And the other friend would have no idea what it was. So they tattooed a butthole on his belly button. So when the guy lifts up his shirt, it's a girl's butt.
See, the worst thing I was going to say was like a Sonic tattoo. No. Not even like Sonic.
Sonic?
Yeah, like that. Like,
that's
like,
such a
random
and specific
tattoo.
At the same time.
Are you talking about Sonic the restaurant? Like a Sonic burger?
No, Sonic the Hedgehog. Because I was just thinking of something absurd. But butthole works too, dude.
Well, you hope the butthole works.
That's what the butt's for.
I know we're like going on a tangent, but I heard talking about a YouTube video of people getting like tattoos. Did you guys watch that video where the parents request the children to draw something?
That was great.
Drew something, and then whatever the drawing was, they had to tattoo it. I was thinking to myself, would I ever do that?
At the same time, your daughter is a tremendous artist.
Exactly.
Whereas some of those kids on that video were terrible. I mean, there was like a 15-year-old kid, and he had like... a stick figure is too. Oh, man.
I remember there's something like, what if I draw a banana? Yes. Like, oh God.
No. It has to be right on your mouth. So you're eating the banana at all times. Very professional.
Okay, I like it. Okay, so last topic, last guilty pleasure. You know, we haven't really touched upon this because we're still trying to figure out how we can incorporate the music. But today we're going to talk about guilty pleasure songs.
All right. Lewis, okay, you know what? Let me just, you know, I'm just going to pull it out like a Band-Aid, quick and painless. So a lot of the listeners, I think, know that I personally love 90s boy bands, but not all boy band songs were created equal. My guilty pleasure song is Bye 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 by NSYNC.
Bye Bye Bye?
The thing about it, like, it's not necessarily a guilty pleasure, you know, because everybody, it was a top, you know, top 10 hit. It was on TRL. For you kids out there, Google what TRL was. It was a big thing back then. Not only do I like the song, the problem I have is whenever the song comes on, my body has a natural inclination to start doing the stupid choreography, and I cannot help myself. It's like when I guess it's like when Bruce Banner stubs his toe. He just can't help but turn into the Hulk. I turn into a brown Justin Timberlake. So that's my guilty pleasure song. And the bonus is it doesn't just come with a song. It comes with a dance. Exactly. So there you go. You're welcome, world.
Now, this is totally unscripted, I got to tell you. So once we post this, If we can get 100 likes, I'm going to find a video of Lewis dancing Bye Bye Bye, and we are posting
it.
Or we'll just record him doing it.
So there you go.
No matter what, you're getting that video if you get it to 100 likes.
Throwing it out there, guys. For me, my guilty pleasure would be Baby, Baby, Baby. I guess it's just called Baby by Justin Bieber. Now, this was Justin Bieber before all the tattoos and everything.
Yeah.
When his voice was still like, you know.
Pure Justin.
Pure Justin. Peak Justin.
Peak Justin.
And I have no idea. I was one of those people that talked about, you know, oh, it's a stupid song. It's, you know, I hate that song. But for some reason, I know the words. And every so often, I'll just be walking around, and somewhere, all of a sudden, it'll pop in my head, Baby, 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 no. Like, oh God, please make it stop. But it's still there. Baby, baby, baby.
True story, Dennis cannot go to City Walk without busting in the song.
You're holding it up, turning around.
He has flashbacks.
See, I don't know why these guys consider them guilty pleasure songs, because I love both of those songs. Like, I rock Justin Bieber and NSYNC, and, like, to be honest, my go-to karaoke song is an NSYNC song, besides Bellbird That Was Poisoned, but I go with It's Gonna Be Me all the time. But my guilty pleasure song is so far off in left field that I don't know if anybody else listening to this knows the song. The name of the group is Savage Garden, which some of you guys remember.
Yeah.
They do some really cheesy slow jazz.
I was going to say, like, they're on every soundtrack for the 90s movies.
Like, every Notting Hill, every Hugh Grant movie. But they made a song for a soundtrack for a movie called The Other Sister, not a ballad, and actually upbeat umtempo song called The Animal Song. The lyrics are terrible, but if you ever listen to the beat and just the tune itself, it is so damn catchy. And like, if you ever catch me rolling in my car, I'm either bumping 90s hip hop, gangster style, or Savage Garden, the Animal Song. If you guys have not heard the song, please look it up on YouTube. I'm saying it's going to stick. It's an earworm. It's going to stick in your ears for the next couple of hours.
Okay. So thank you very much. Good topic, guys. We're going to take a quick break. We're going to be doing our commercial break. As usual, we're trying to get some people, some sponsors over here. So I'm poor, and so we're trying to get some people to pay for the equipment that we have. Today's episode is brought to you by Donnie D's Sweet Shop. Donnie D's Sweet Shop, a landmark in the San Fernando Valley for more than 50 years. Donnie D's is excited to announce their newest sweet sensation. Introducing Donnie D's caramel-coated peanuts. They're sweet, salty, and a slight bit of heat. Try it, and we know you love the flavor of D's nuts. Thank you, Donnie D.
Thank you very much, Donnie.
So I know we kind of extended a little too much.
Sorry.
No one's gonna, never mind.
No. Not at all.
Okay, just checking. And so it seems like shame is the topic for today. So the last thing that we want to talk about is our secret nerd shames. You know, as I know, in the 80s and 90s, the word nerd had such a negative connotation to it. And hell, like, even before that. But these last two decades, the word nerd has all of a sudden, it's almost like a badge of honor for people. And, you know, if you are a nerd, there's certain expectations that you have. But not every nerd is created equally. You know, some of us are lacking in certain things. And so the question then is just one, because we are a little bit over, thanks to Harold coughing all the time. But, you know, what is a secret shame that you had that, you know, you don't really want to announce? I'll begin. I am a proud video gamer. Even to this day, even in my old age, I still find some time every day to just kind of pop in, my PS4, pop in a Nintendo Switch, and play the game. But my secret nerd shame has to do with Mario Brothers. Now, Mario Brothers is such a classic. There's vast array of games. But when we talk about Mario Brothers, there's specific things that everybody knows of. You know, everybody knows the secret one-ups.
Right.
Everybody knows the warp pipe and everything. Everybody knows that, you know, during level 1, 2, you just keep on jumping all the way up so you can get that secret room with the three...
The warp pipes.
I consider myself a pretty decent Mario Brothers player. But the one nerd shame I have is that I've never been able to pull off the infinite one-up trick. I keep on trying it. I've watched people talk about it. I've actually read people talk about the timing and everything. For some reason, I can never get that. And to this day, it is a shame of mine.
Shame! So let me take it up from there, too. So when you think nerd, right, you're thinking like, a couple things. You're thinking comic books. You're thinking movies. You're thinking shows. You're thinking they've read sci-fi. They've read everything and all in between. So, unlike Dennis here, my secret shame is that I am horrible at video games.
Yes, he is.
Street Fighter. So, I love going to GameStop. I love going to Game Dude in Sherman Way. I love those spots. I have actually worked at a Game Dude. I have spent so much money buying video games ever since I was young, and I have been horrible at it. I'll never admit it outrightly, but anytime we fire up a console around these guys, I get owned at Street Fighter, Mario Kart, Bomberman, and you know what? Think of it. I'm having flashbacks of when I was a kid. I would have to call my brother to help me finish a freaking level in Mario, or because I couldn't beat Bald Bull in Punch-Out. It just hurts.
I can feel the pain.
It hurts, right?
I can feel the pain.
I can feel my voice cracking because I feel like I'm in confessional right now. And I feel bad because my kids are looking up to me like, oh, did you play that game before? I did. And then I just give them the controller. So that's my shame, guys.
I will readily admit my shame and
nerd shame.
Nerd shame.
not just regular nerd.
Yes.
Not regular nerd shame.
There's lots of things you should be ashamed of.
But in nerd shame, for me, it's when people think of nerds in the past couple of years, the main thing I get from a lot of people, especially when they're talking to me, is, oh, you're kind of nerdy. you must like The Big Bang Theory.
Oh.
And I'm like, no. That show sucks. And I'm like,
hot take.
And
hot
people, take, folks, I mean, everybody says, oh, it's because it sucks recently. No, that show has sucked since day one. Like, the only redeeming factor they ever had was Penny. And when she became just another kind of their extension for nerdiness, the show just lost everything to me. I mean, even from the beginning when people were like, this is the show you need to watch because you like Star Wars, you collect comic books, you play video games. Yeah, I do all three of those things, but I hate the show that talks about it. Because I think it's pandering to the lowest common denominator. Oh. Where it's like, oh, these are nerds, so let's make these nerd references. Ha 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 ha. That's the joke. It's like, oh yeah, we love Star Wars. Lightsaber. Audience laughs. Who doesn't laugh? The guy playing on his iPad and his phone because he just has it in the background so he can fall asleep.
That's pretty cool. And he has a lightsaber.
And I do have a lightsaber. But I don't go, hey guys, lightsaber, and wait for people to applaud me. Because, you know.
Got it.
Yeah, listeners in podcast land can't see it, but Harold is literally hot right now.
No.
He's so hot right now. I mean, he got so heated real quick.
It's
that Harold. He's so hot right
so
now.
So hot right now.
The last episode we had was me in a vitriol of just going off on how much I hate The Big Bang Theory. And I know that there's a new TV show called Young Sheldon, and that thing can go in the garbage too.
Preemptively. I mean, he hasn't seen one episode.
No.
It has nothing to do with video games.
No, but nothing. I'm great at video games, so unlike these two, I've been able to achieve the one-up thing multiple times.
Whoa. I like the fact that that's
no, one... that's why I'm putting you guys down so I make myself feel better.
Oh, okay.
And I literally just did a hand gesture where I
thumbs up.
Where I leveled myself and thumbed up afterwards. If you can visualize that, people, that's just what happened.
Yeah. Well, that is it for our episode today. You know, really, thank you for all the support that we have been getting. As usual, we need to kind of talk about it. We do have our Facebook page, Two Fanboys and a Filthy Casual.
Right.
I actually got it.
You got it right the first take.
It's amazing. Nailed it.
I know. I don't need to do anything to it. You know, and as usual, please like it. Please share it. Please talk about it. Do anything and everything so that we can actually know that you're out there, because sometimes we're lonely. Are you taking a picture of us?
No. Right?
Okay, just checking, because that kind of goes against the idea
of anonymity.
Even though on the Facebook page there's a clear picture of all three of us.
No, we took that out.
No, I'm saying the logo.
Oh, the logo, guys.
It's a clear picture of the three of our foreheads.
Our foreheads.
Foreheads. And profile of our hair and everything.
I have hair?
Anything else to add before we leave?
Well, you know, I'm going to take a nice shower now because I feel dirty. Exposing my shame, so that's all.
And just thank you again for you know, listening and giving us your suggestions.
Right.
We're very open to getting more topics out there that our fans want to hear about. But
we need to start winning a counter of every
Time I crack, like it just hit puberty. But we're trying to do a lot of fan service. You guys are more invested in the show because it's not just about us anymore. It's
going
to be a little bit more about what you guys want to hear.
Right.
So any suggestions, any topics, please feel free to either talk to us personally or post on our Facebook page as well.
Okay, that's it for today.
Thank you.
We need like a catchphrase to like
send off.
To send off.
Fanboys.
There has to be an echo.
No, all right, you can do it, and then he can do it, and then I can do it, and then we can harmonize it.
Nah, it's okay. We'll practice it, and we'll take a look.
We'll get back to you.
Okay, good night, guys. We'll see you guys soon. Well, damn it.
You'll hear from us
next episode.
That sounds so ominous.
You'll hear from us soon.
Dun, dun, dun.
That's it. That's the ending. We are going to end every single episode. And we're going to... Next time you're going to hear us harmonize. Dun, dun, dun. Good night.